Say it ain't so, Dougie. Say it ain't so. This is your man, Tony Wiggins, with your Jaguars report on Locked On Jaguars. Doug, you got to kick it. Doug, you got to kick it. Doug, you got to kick it. That's what I'm screaming yesterday at the TV as the Jaguars get in position late in the game on a Gardner Minshew touchdown to DJ Chark to tie the football game at NRG Stadium in Houston. And I'm saying just take the tie. Kick the extra point. Nope. Doug Marrone goes for two on a failed attempt with a run of Leonard Fournette right smack up the middle, and he stopped by an inch or more, and the Jaguars fall to Houston to fall to 0-2 on the season. Discipline problems yesterday again for the team. This is simply coming down to the fact that it looks like now 1 week they're getting out-coached on offense, the next they're getting out-coached on defense. We got to do better, Jaguars. We absolutely have to do better. Let's look at the positives. What are the positives coming out of yesterday? Well, one of the positives is and continues to be number 15, the rookie quarterback Gardner Minshew for Jacksonville. Not a great day early. Didn't seem to have his rhythm early in the game. Missed some throws that you would expect for a rookie making his first start, especially when another team starts scheming up for him. Had some ball control issues, ball security issues, rather, on a couple of sacks he took. He fumbled. No problem with taking the sacks, but you got to be able to hold on to that football because that changes field position. In fact, the one touchdown that Houston was able to manufacture, a run by Deshaun Watson, it was able to happen because the Jaguars actually fumbled the ball within their own 10-yard line, and that was on Minshew. That was on Minshew when he got sacked. So short field for Houston, and they're able to capitalize and get points. Outside of that, man, Gardner Minshew showed that he's a gamer. He's tough. He understands football. He understands concepts. He's not the most physically gifted or physically talented player in the world, but you can't really measure heart. You can't really measure the fact that a guy can stay calm and cool the way he stayed calm and cool under fire. And then in the game's biggest moments, he was able to deliver. And it was really something to behold. He's running around like Roger Staubach, and he looked good. He looked good. He sort of reminds me of what people thought Johnny Manziel was. I know everybody keeps talking about Drew Brees and all of this stuff, but he sort of reminds me of just a kid that looks like he just loves to play the game, and just a kid that looks like he really, really enjoys the competition aspect of it. And the more tough things get, the better. Now, I know this is a sort of a 180 for me on Gardner Minshew, but I don't know how anybody saw this based on what you saw in the preseason. Nobody saw this. I mean, this is only something where you just wait and see what happens. And unfortunately, there was an injury, and the kid got a chance to play. I'm starting to wonder now, man, if the way this thing is taking off, do people actually want Nick Foles back? And I'm seriously answering that question, because this love fest for this backup quarterback is going into the stratospheres now in terms of the fans and the folk hero. And the quarterback, the backup quarterback is always, and everyone always says this, but the backup quarterback is always like the most popular player on the team. And in this situation, I understand it. There's a lot of enthusiasm surrounding Gardner Minshew. I do caution everyone, though, that it's the second week in a row they went to the fourth quarter after only scoring 3 points with Gardner at quarterback. Remember, they had 10 going when he took over for Nick Foles, and then they were able to, after he got those first 10 points, after Nick Foles got those first 10 points, rather, then they brought in Gardner Minshew to play quarterback, and he only got 3 points going into the fourth quarter in like 2.5 quarters. And the same thing happened yesterday. They only had 3 points until their last two drives. So we can be enthusiastic about the way he plays and the manner in which he goes about his business all we want to. However, one thing that has to happen from this point forward is they got to start getting some points early. We're going to discuss this week on Locked On Jaguars, we'll be discussing play calling, guys blowing up, Doug Marrone, does he still have the respect of the team? There's a lot of stuff for us to get into on Locked On Jaguars. Now, the call. I didn't like the actual play call on the two-point conversion to Leonard Fournette. And I didn't like the decision to actually not extend the game into overtime or potential overtime with that play. And I assumed they were going to go into overtime because Houston wasn't able to move the ball. The only thing that I could imagine that would have prevented them from going into overtime would be if the Jaguars played some sort of prevent defense or got some sort of pass interference call. And maybe Doug was concerned a little bit about that, but Houston hadn't driven the ball all game, at least since early in the game when they were able to get a field goal. I wouldn't have been that much concerned about that. I would have played, I would just always, whenever you're losing, you extend the game. And how do you extend the game? You don't go, it's either all win or all lose, right? You're 0-1 already. You know, I don't think there was a reason for you to take that chance at that point. And I know Doug said that he had made his mind up way before they even tied the game up, before they even got the ball, that if they got the ball back, they were going to go for the win as opposed to going for the tie. So I give him credit for sticking to his convictions and doing it that way, but I wouldn't have done it. I would have gone for the tie and gone into overtime with that momentum. That momentum does not stop just because you stop to do a coin flip. Houston was shell-shocked offensively. Watson was banged up. There's no way, you know, I don't take a chance on my defense that is red hot and then my quarterback that is red hot at that juncture of the game. The Jaguars had complete control of that football game for the last half of the fourth quarter. And I think you just did yourself a disservice. Now, the actual play call itself, running the ball up the middle, would I have done that? Nope, not with that offensive line. And traditionally, Leonard Fournette has been very, very good in those situations where we've seen him lunge from 4 yards back or 3.5 yards back and go over the top. They tried to do sort of a quick hitter, sort of a little trap. It got stuffed. He was hitting the backfield. He made a tremendous second effort to try to get into the end zone, but it was too late. And a lot of the Fournette detractors are like saying, why, he's average, why do you do that? Right, wrong, or indifferent, whether you like it or not, the Jaguars believe he is their most talented and best offensive player. Whether they're wrong or not, they're going to die on that hill. And folks might as well get used to them dying on the hill because this is exactly how they feel about Leonard Fournette. We're going to discuss that. I want to discuss that a little bit more as we move forward. But I would, you know, be remiss if I didn't tell you about our friends over at Peloton. That's right. You wonder what is Peloton? Well, Peloton is a system of exercising and a system of working out that keeps you engaged. You know, it's an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will also keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessory when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use the promo code LOCKED. That's right, LOCKED, just to get you started. More on Leonard Fournette, more on Jalen Ramsey, more on Doug Marrone and his decision when Locked On Jaguars continues. For all of you that can go to live games, that's great. Some of you can't go to live games and you have to do what you have to do. But when you go to live games, are you actually getting the best possible value and are you actually getting the best possible seats? Are you getting the best possible views? I can tell you my friends over at Vivid Seats can make sure that happens. All you got to do is go to your App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program and will enjoy credits on all of their purchases as a part of Vivid Seats Rewards. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. So here's what you do, man. Go on Vivid Seats and you enter the promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to 100%. That's right. Of up to $100. Vivid Seats is where you need to get all of your seats for every single sporting event that you want to attend to make sure that you get the best view. Vivid Seats. Go check them out. Download the app. Welcome back to Locked On Jaguars. Let's talk about what appeared to transpire between Jalen Ramsey and Doug Marrone in the first quarter early in the game yesterday in the loss, the 13-12 loss against the Houston Texans that dropped the Jags to 0-2. Everybody knows how much I like Jalen Ramsey, and everyone knows how much I like a lot of these players. And I'm usually on the side of players when it comes to whether or not the player's playing well or whether or not they're being schemed up, and players versus front office when it comes to money. There's some things, though, that I don't condone, or there's some things that I don't really think are cool, and that is when a player puts his hand or even makes a gesture to put their hand on a coach. I don't like it. I don't like the body language that I saw yesterday from Jalen Ramsey and some of the other players on the bench when Doug Marrone. Doug's a supervisor. Doug's going to come do what he wants to do. Doug's going to come and he's going to talk to you. But one thing you don't do, even if Jalen Ramsey was right, and the point of this that's really, really in question is when they didn't throw the challenge flag on a third and short where it appears the ball possibly bounced off of the ground. And Jalen was adamant. As soon as DeAndre Hopkins, quote-unquote, caught the ball, Jalen was immediately up saying, nope, hit the ground, challenge it. He was telling us it's incomplete. He even looked at the ref, and then he was yelling and barking at the Jaguars bench to challenge it, challenge it. And on the replay, it looked like it was warranted, you know, that all of his concerns were warranted, that they probably should have taken a deeper, harder look at it. Doug decided not to. Maybe he decided not to because of a view someone had upstairs or whatever. And once he decides not to, that's it. It's over. It's done. You move forward. The Jaguars ended up giving up 3 points on that particular drive. However, it appeared that Jalen was still upset when he came to the bench. And I can almost imagine, now this is just me imagining, he's saying, I'm trying to win. I told you the ball didn't hit the ground. I mean, I told you he didn't catch it. Clearly, the ball hit the ground. I'm just paraphrasing here, and I'm saying what I think may have pissed Jalen off. And I get it, and I understand you're trying to win. But you're not the only one trying to win. And even if you're right in that situation, there is no productivity that can be had from having it out and showing up your coach like that. None whatsoever. It leads me to think that there's a bigger issue of a lack of respect for Doug Marrone from certain players on this team, and I think it's some of the leaders. I don't think that the respect is there, and I'm not saying that it's not justified that the respect isn't there. I've said for a long time that one of the things that I feared with this team was that Tom Coughlin, because he speaks so much and because he's around and because he dresses like a coach when they're practicing, the byproduct of him being so visible is the fact that it circumvents the authority of Doug Marrone. And what I mean by that is people may think that Doug's just a figurehead or just a minion. And, him being a former player, and it was a long time ago, but it kind of adds to this. Doug likes that chippiness. He said in the past he doesn't care about guys arguing and guys getting heated on the sideline. But to me, it just was a bad look yesterday. I mean, you know, Jalen comes to the sideline, is pulled away. It looks like he makes contact with Marrone. Another coach is pulling him, pulling him, pulling him. And it's almost like babysitting. It's almost like you have to do this sometime with star players, and I get it. But when you add everything up, and I don't try to fall, I try not to fall prey to these trappings of thinking too much about a Brinks truck or thinking too much about endorsements and all of that stuff, because that's business. And these guys are out here trying on Sundays. They're trying to actually win these games. And he followed DeAndre Hopkins, who's one of the three best receivers in the NFL. He followed him yesterday. So he wants every little victory he can get to help this football team. And he's one-on-one with this guy. And I get it, and I understand that. And it was a battle all day long. And he held him down, man. The dude had like 40 yards receiving. So he did his job better than Marshawn Lattimore did just, 6 days early on national TV. And Marshawn Lattimore is an all-pro corner as well. But the thing is you come to the sideline and it looks like people have to separate you from your head coach. And then when your coach comes over to attempt to talk to you, maybe he grabs you or whatever to get your attention, and you snatch away. And to the point where the reaction caused other players to get up and to hold you back. And then you had another guy, I think it was Ronnie Harrison, hugging Doug like, come on. And then you had another guy, and this was a weird part. It was either DJ Hayden or whoever number 26 is. They were pointing to the field telling Doug, it looks like they were saying, go coach, We got this. Go over there. Now, look, I don't know what kind of operation they have going on. I'm close enough to the team where I see some stuff, but I don't see nothing like that. And if that's the way this thing is going to go, then it's just going to get worse as there's more adversity to go through this season. And, you know, you had guys like Marcus Spears from ESPN. He put that whole scenario up. He said, y'all need to blow this thing up. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's trade players or move. I tell you what, though, all of those things that people keep saying over the years, and I told them there's no way the Jaguars are trading Jalen Ramsey, I don't necessarily know if that's true anymore. It shouldn't be true. I wouldn't get rid of a generational talent like that. Guys want to win. Guys want to win for the fans. They want to win for themselves. They want to win for the city. And if they think they're being put in a bad position in a bad situation by the people that run the team, I can get them getting upset. I really can. I understand it. And I'm down with that. You need to be mad. You need to be mad. But here's where there's a double-edged sword. You ought to be mad at yourself too and kick yourself for a pick six that you should have had. And this game would have been over. Or it would have been closer. And then the magic that happened at the end could have been to cement the victory. And not just to attempt to tie the game up or to win the game on the last play of the game, essentially. So, you know, Doug has to do Doug. Doug has to coach. And whether he does a good job of that or not, it's irrelevant. You're a player, man. You can be heated and you can have input. But at some point, if that thing gets counterproductive to – and the way it looked yesterday, it looked super, super counterproductive. You got to watch yourself when you're a team leader, man. You know, God shouldn't be holding people back like they're in a bar fight or something on the sideline of a game in the first quarter and the second game of the year. And, you know, that's my spiel on this because I'm just a firm believer in, you know, even if you're right, if you're counterproductive in being right, then what's the point? Even if you're right, what good is it going to come out if you're yelling and screaming at your coach? And now, to their credit, the Jaguars got beyond it, and they rallied, and Doug Marrone said he didn't even remember what it was about, and I think that's a bunch of hogwash. But still, not necessarily a good look. However you spin it, however you want to doctor it, however you want to look at it, it's just, it, you know, the optics of it all, it just doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good. And at this point, this team has now done something cute 2 weeks in a row. And last week, they probably didn't stand a chance in hell of beating Kansas City. But they probably, for 2 weeks in a row now, have done something cute to cost themselves the game. Yeah. And, you know, yesterday was a two-point conversion. Last week, it was simply guys just jumping in and not being where they were supposed to be. And doing the things that they were supposed to do. So, yeah, man, the Jaguars have some work to do. Some of those things we'll discuss as we move forward here on Locked On Jaguars. Fellas, you know when game time is. And by game time, no, I do not mean when toe hits leather. I mean game time when it's time for you to spend time with your significant other. BlueChew.com is where you need to go. That's right. BlueChew.com. Right now, there's a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your free shipment, your first free shipment, when you use our special promo code Locked On and just pay $5 in shipping. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom when you kick off game time, and you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round two. That's right, man. Step your game up, man. Get on. Go to BlueChew.com right now and visit BlueChew.com and get a free shipment. Use a special promo code Locked On and just pay $5 shipping. And step your game up, man, and take care of business when you need to be taking care of business, if you know what I mean. Short week for the Jaguars this week. They play a game Thursday night here at TIA Bank Field in Jacksonville, and it is against that ingrown toenail I called it. That's what I call them, the ingrown toenail. It's the Tennessee Titans, a team that Jacksonville has struggled against. The Titans are 1-1. They blew Cleveland out the first week on the road, and then they lost a close game yesterday to the Colts by 2 points at home. So, you know, the Titans appear to be a very formidable team, especially defensively. They've held two pretty good offenses to under 20 points in the first 2 weeks of the season. And quite frankly, they just had the Jaguars number. And the Jaguars went into yesterday's game banged up. A lot of guys didn't play. Marshall Darius did come back. Calais Campbell did play. Yannick Ngakoue, and I think you saw the difference in the game, even though the Jaguars were able to get some pressure. And I'm going to give Taven Bryan a little shout-out, man. Taven Bryan played well yesterday and got some pressure. Still didn't get any sacks, but at least you saw number 90 making some noise and making some moves and actually being productive. So Quincy Williams came back yesterday. And, of course, Miles Jack came back off of that. Not even a game suspension, but after getting thrown out the week before. I was a little bit concerned that Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson were both getting 5 or 6 yards on first down right up the gut in the Jaguars defense. So I think those things have to be fixed moving forward, especially with Derrick Henry. First Coast own Derrick Henry, who seems to kill the Jaguars every single time. The coverage on the outside was great yesterday. Marcus Mariota isn't necessarily going to try to test the Jags corners. At least he won't test Jalen Ramsey very much. He'll probably try to test whoever else plays. A.J. Bouye did not play yesterday. So with Bouye out yesterday, they had to go into the depth a little bit. So Trey Herndon actually started at corner. Both safeties played and didn't necessarily play as bad as they did the week before. And in fact, when you don't hear the name called, that means they probably paid pretty good. The one thing the Jaguars have to alleviate, though, and they got to get rid of these penalties, man. These penalties are killing them at inopportune times. It's costing them positive plays that they have on offense. The penalties must go if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars and you want to improve for the rest of this season. Now, you know, Tennessee's defense, I love the way that they play. They're very physical. It's going to be a hard-fought game. It's on national TV here on Thursday night here in Jacksonville. So, man, I want everybody to come, show up, show out. But this definitely is a game, in my opinion, that is a must-win game, even though everybody else in the division is 1-1. The Jaguars' schedule is brutal the further along you get into the season, especially those last 8 games. And that's when you'll anticipate that Nick Foles will come back. And I wonder if people are thinking about that now. How well does Minshew have to play for people to say, you know what, we don't worry about Foles coming back? I think he has to play a lot better. And I'll tell you why. If Nick Foles had played the last 2 weeks the way Gardner Minshew had played, it wouldn't be enough for fans because there's an expectation, because he's a Super Bowl winner, there's an expectation that he needs to do more. They'd say he's the check down king. He's dinking and dunking, and he's doing what he has to do, but he's not scoring points. It's acceptable because Minshew is a 6th-round pick who's a rookie, and he stepped into a hot seat. The team really needed him right here at the end, so it's a little bit more accepting. I think that's one of the things that I'm trying to get through to the fans. Would you accept this and these numbers if it was Nick Foles? The answer would be no, because you'd say he's not getting the ball in the end zone and he's not scoring any points. They scored 20 points last week, 13 yesterday. It's not enough for them to win games. It's just not. You can't average 6. And then the points last week, they actually came late. You know, they were so late. You know, they scored over 20-some-odd points against Kansas City. I think they scored 26, but you know, 14 of those points were late in the game. You know, so stuff like that really, really doesn't matter. The thing is, you know, are we accepting this offense the way that it is because we're patient with Gardner Minshew, or do we really think that Gardner Minshew could lead this team? I still have my doubts that I don't think there's enough chunk plays. There's some sideline stuff that he does get. but not enough stuff in the deep middle of the field. No nine routes, none of that stuff. They're not really, and maybe they're calling those plays, but he's just not having enough time to get to him because the offensive line is breaking down. And that's another area that has to get better and improve. And I know it's a bit of a makeshift line, but the problem is the rookie tackle, Juwan Taylor, and the second-year tackle who's really a guard, Will Richardson, they aren't the problem. It seems like to me the interior of the line where the veterans are, the guys that make all the money, and Brandon Linder and Kevin Noah, it seems like to me that's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. Running lanes aren't there, and people are getting mad at Leonard because he doesn't hit the lane and he doesn't have a whole bunch of wiggle. Leonard doesn't have wiggle. That's not who he is. That's not who he is. So folks are now saying that he runs to contact too much and all of this stuff, and they keep bringing up that he was the fourth overall pick and that he's not worth it and that he's average and he's just, okay. You know what? You all might be right, but make no mistake about it. They don't feel that way. They're going to die on that hill, like I said earlier in the show. To them, Leonard Fournette is the most talented player they have on their offense. Get used to them thinking that way. You can get mad all you want to, but they're going to keep feeding him the ball, and that's who they're going to go with, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to throw it to him. That's just it. So we have a game this week here in Jacksonville. Short week, Thursday. Must win, in my opinion. You cannot go 0-3 and expect to have a successful season. If they go 0-3, you're going to start hearing some cat calls for somebody's job, too. Especially if they go 0-3 and the disciplinary problems continue and the penalties. And getting too cute, two straight weeks in a row and making coaching decisions. Doug Marrone said that he had that play chosen way before they even got the ball. I don't know if that makes it better or worse. That's what he was convicted to do. Or is it like, is that what he's convicted to do? Really? I don't know, man. Jack's got a lot of things they need answered, a lot of questions that have to get answered. And they better do it in a hurry because that mayonnaise crew from Nashville is coming in here Thursday night. So as the week goes on, we'll check it out. We'll do a crossover this week with the Tennessee Titans and the Locked On Titans. Send in your questions also for Fan Friday. Please send in your questions for Fan Friday. And remember, on all platforms, you can download Locked On Jaguars and subscribe and tell your friends, man. We're trying to give you the best information we can. All right, for another episode of Locked On Jaguars, it's your man T-Wig. Take care.